Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Today is November 19th, 2014. We're getting ready to wrap up on the fourth quarter. Hope you've achieved your goals and objectives for the year. And certainly, if you haven't, you're looking to regroup. Today's guest, Nancy Friedman, the telephone doctor, sure will have some tips that will help you to establish a strong foundation for the year ahead. I want to thank my guest from last week, Michelle Rowan, president over at Franchise Business Review, as we talked about satisfaction and validation being key components to franchise success. It was a great show, and as all of our shows are on Franchise Today, it is available on demand at blogtalkradio.com/Franchise Today Show. I want to shout out to all our franchise friends attending the IFA's Emerging Franchisor Conference in Dallas, Texas. Hope you're having a great event, and more importantly, safe travels on your way home. I'd like to shout out to some friends also in the franchise community and congratulate Process Peak and FranConnect. Heard about their FranConnect's acquisition of Process Peak, and want to really say congratulations to Amit Pamecha, who's been on the air with us in the past, as well as John Carlson from Process Peak, who's also been on the air with us, and Tim Johnson, also at Process Peak. I'm sure we'll be hearing the details, and of course the devil is always in the details, but I'm sure we'll be hearing more of that in the coming weeks. But it is exciting when two powerhouses start joining forces together. Lot going on in the franchise space, of course, as we lead into the Thanksgiving holiday when things will actually slow down. We're coming out of some great conferences. I heard that last week's Restaurant Finance and Development Conference in Las Vegas, put on by our friends at Franchise Times, was a really, really great event. I mean, it's always super to hear about, deals being made and a lot of activity going on in the franchise space, and especially at that level because there's a lot of big-time players. And I know we had a lot of people from franchising attend. And, of course, we're still reeling from, the Public Affairs Conference at the IFA in September and the Leadership and Development Conference by our friends at the Franchise Update Group. As well as, other events that have occurred over the last couple of months. The activity coming out of those events has been quite robust. And I think it's just a good sign for things to come. So, as you know, Franchise Today is a production of Franchise Foundry, and we're working with a lot of emerging brands, and we're excited by the year ahead and be heavily invested in the upcoming Franchise Expo South in Houston, Texas in February, just ahead of the IFA convention in Las Vegas. And on my blog site as well as on the IFA sites is a peek into the upcoming IFA convention, which will be the 55th for the IFA, which is really going to be an exciting time in Sin City. Also like to, of course, as I do every week, thank our great strategic partner, Franchise Update and Media Group. Always a great shout out to Gary Gardner, Therese Gilgen, and Diane Phibbs. We really appreciate your support and looking ahead to your upcoming multi-unit franchising conference, also in Las Vegas, which I think is in May or April. So really looking to ramp up for that. Upcoming guests on Franchise Today, of course, next week is the day before Thanksgiving, as we've done for the last 5 years. We'll have a replay on Franchise Today, so we'll pick one of the favorite topics and replay that next year. Next week, so as so many people are traveling, give them an opportunity to listen to something that has been a very well-received show in the past. But then the following week, December 3rd, my guest will be Tom Epstein and Lee Plave. Tom, of course, is the CEO at Franchise Payment Network, and Lee Plave is the principal partner at Plave Cook Law Firm with Zing. Always love saying the law firm with Zing. But anyway, we're going to be discussing a very important and relevant topic in franchising, which is going to be data. With all the recent data breaches, it's important that franchising be well aware. You know, even though it's occurred a lot in small business circles, it's also occurred in the franchising community. You know, Dairy Queen and Domino's and Jimmy John's, you know, come to light. And so we'll have some interesting perspective from Tom and Lee as we explore data and the protection and our responsibilities as franchisors. And then the following week, December 10th, we were supposed to have John Hayes on a few weeks back. And, of course, John will be calling in from Kuwait, and we've rescheduled for December 10th. And Dr. John Hayes is just one of the foremost experts on franchising from a lot of different perspectives. So I look forward to having him as my guest. And then wrapping up the year on December 17th, before our replays on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, on December 17th will be Rocco Fiorentino, the CEO of Benetrends, and we'll be talking a lot, of course, about franchise finance and opening up of credit and just different programs that franchisors can use. And, you know, thinking about it, you know, we're finding that, you know, more and more of what we do on Franchise Today is also relevant to, you know, franchisees. It's also relevant to franchise candidates. And I'm excited to announce that in 2015, number one, as a co-host on Franchise Today and part of the Franchise Today network, will be Stan Friedman, the president at FRM Solutions, one of the leading technology providers in franchising. And Stan special hosted a show a few weeks back with you know, the co-founders from Pinos Palette, and we're really excited for Stan to be joining the team here at Franchise Today. So that'll occur after first, but, you know, as important, we'll be expanding the Franchise Today lineup. It'll all be under Franchise Today. We'll still air Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Central Time, but we will also be doing a series of special event shows. Number one will be the Franchisor Spotlight Series. We will have various franchisors on during the year for 30-minute segments. And it's not going to be really promotional. It's going to be more the challenges that, you know, emerging franchisors faced and the things they did from a standpoint of best practices that helped them succeed. So we're looking forward to that. And then also for our franchise candidates that are out there, we'll also be doing a special segment of understanding franchising, which will talk about various aspects of franchising and what new candidates and as well as, you know, businesses looking to enter franchising should know and use it as part of our commitment to be a resource, an educational resource to the entire franchise community and everybody that wants to step in. So a little long-winded on that today, so I do apologize because I have a great guest on the air with me today, and it's Nancy Friedman, who's the telephone doctor and one of America's most sought-after speaker on sales, customer service, and communication skills. Nancy's appeared on programs with Colin Powell, Lou Holtz, Bill Walsh, Pete Rose, Bobby Knight, Tom Peters.
Slower, so they can hear it. Slower, let it sink in.
Among many other prominent speakers. As we know, as we now heard, you know, Nancy is not afraid to speak her mind, and I appreciate that. Her message reaches all industries and touches on all job titles. Well-published in the Wall Street Journal, she had an article, Don't Strike Out Your Customers, but named one of the 25 most influential businesswomen in St. Louis, and I'm sure in America as well. She's been on Oprah, The Today Show, Fox News, CNN, CBS This Morning, plus hundreds of other radio and TV programs across the country and internationally. She's authored 8 books on customer service. She's the spokesperson in the popular Telephone Doctor Customer Service Training Library. Her following is large. It's loyal. She has a lot of energy, a theatrical background, and always provides a very entertaining and engaging program. And Nancy, welcome. After all this time, welcome to Franchise Today.
blah, 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 blah. They want to hear the meat. Thank you, though, Paul. I appreciate it. This has been a long time coming, and I'm very, very appreciative and grateful to have this opportunity. So you asked the questions. Paul said to me, we're sitting in front of the fireplace, having a glass of wine, and then I told him I like my espresso vodka better. But bottom line, I do have a lot to share with the franchise community. I love the industry, and I love the people that I've been working with. So you shoot, I'll answer.
Well, that's great. I know Deb Evans, my partner over at Franchise Foundry, I know is listening in, and I could just envision the smile on her face ear to ear, because I know the two of you have been talking about your segment in Franchise Foundry's current franchisee support series, and I know she's laughing when you say blah, 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 and you say slow down and stuff, and I know she's cracking up, although
good.
I can't see her right now. So, and I'm sure a lot of others are going to be as well. So I think the bottom line question comes to mind is, you know, what's the telephone doctor? How did this start? How did you make
this question.
Entry into business from that perspective?
And this will help our listeners because, you know, I just didn't fall down from the sky and say, hey, Daddy, I want to be the telephone doctor. I wanted to be a fairy princess. So what the three to four, why? Did you too? No. I really want to share how this started, because there's going to be franchisees who will and franchisors who will identify with this. So allow me to take two or three minutes. It's a story, and it's a good one. About 25 years ago, I picked up my telephone, and I called my insurance agent, and I told him to cancel all my policies. No small job. We were his largest account, and I don't need to tell anybody what happens when you lose your largest account. The man had coronary arrest. I heard him fall off his chair. He says, my gosh, Nancy, what happened? So I told him, your people stink. They're so rude. They're so abrupt. They're so unfriendly. They're so unpleasant. And I don't want to be treated like that anymore. I'm not going to be treated like that. I said, Michael, you're terrific, but you're never there. And I got to tell you, they're terrible. I have to work with them. So, you know, I'll have lunch with you. Your wife is pretty. Your kids are cute. But I don't want to do business with you anymore. Thank you very much. He said, you know, Nancy, you're right. When I call your office, I'm treated like a king, and I'm not even a customer. I said, Michael, we treat our wrong numbers better than you treat your customers. He usually gets a laugh. He said, would you do me a favor? I said, what's that? He said, would you come to my office and would you show my guys what you guys do? Well, I don't know about anybody listening, but when somebody reaches out to touch me, I do want to touch them back. So I said, yeah, I'll go to your office. So I went to his office out of love. It was the last time I did it out of love. But anyway, I went to his office. And there were two round tables, six, seven people at each table. I don't think there were 16, 17 people in the room, coffee, donuts, had a 9 o'clock. Michael said, Nancy's going to talk with us. So I stood up in front of these 15, 16 people looking at me, much like you're listening right now. Huh, what's she going to say? And I said, well, at our office, we say please. And one woman said, Hilda, write that down. That's a good one. I said, we say thank you. We say you're welcome. They kept writing like they'd never heard it before. I spoke about 12, 15 minutes, had a cup of coffee, and I started to walk out the door. The president of the insurance agency said, wait a minute, Nancy. I said, what's wrong? He said, well, nothing's wrong. I just wanted to thank you. I said, you're welcome. He says, no, you don't understand. We really learned some new things. Well, I came home and had a drink with my husband that night. He hadn't known what I did. I said, Dick, let me tell you what happened today. So I told him about calling Michael and canceling the policies and cookies and donuts and round table and Hilda, please and thank you. I said, Dick, as I was walking out the door, the president of the insurance agency said, thank you very much. We really learned some new things, things that, Dick, like you and I do, like breathing in and breathing out. And my husband said, Nancy, don't ever be surprised. No one has ever shown them. Well, I happen to mention this story that I care to share here with you today to the then general manager of a newspaper in Davenport, Iowa. And we took the general manager out to dinner. Now, what do you think we talk about at dinner when we take a good client out to dinner or prospective franchisee? What do we talk about? Right. We talk about what we did that day. And so that's what I'm going to do to this guy. So we're at dinner, and I told him about calling Michael, told him the whole story, canceling policies, blah, blah, blah. Didn't think too much about it. Finished my dinner, came home. Went to the office the next morning. My phone was ringing. It was the general manager from the newspaper, and he said, Nance, I've been thinking about what we talked about last night, and you're right. From president to maintenance, if you have a phone on your desk, you should be trained. Would you come to my newspaper, and would you show my guys what you guys do? And I said, well, sure, Bob, no problem. How many folks do you have, dear? He said, 300. I turned to my husband. I said, now look what you got me into. Well, I happen to have married the can-do man, and the can-do man said, you can do it, Nancy. So I sat down and I wrote a program, and I flew up to Davenport, Iowa, and delivered four programs. At the last program, the editor of the Quad City Times walked up to me. He says, you know, you're very good. He says, you sure got a lot of cures. I'm going to call you the doctor. I'm going to call you the telephone doctor. And I came running home to Dick. I said, Dick, some guy called me the telephone doctor. What'll we do? He said, let's go get it registered. So we've been running around the country helping people, helping corporations do a better job communicating with their customers ever since. And, you know, we don't hire bad people. I could go on and on and on. But that little 3 to 4 minute story captures the essence of how just a thought wave can start an entire business. And also, Paul, I'd like the audience to know that Telephone Doctor Customer Service Training was a franchisor. We had 5 franchisees. 4 we got rid of right away, and 1 we kept too long. And I'm sure the audience can identify with that. It was not for us. It's a good idea. Many years ago, my son said, he runs the company now. He says, where do you want to be in 10 years? And I said, I want to be like Sylvan Learning. I want brick and mortar. I want a store in every, you know, in every major city. Well, we're big and we're going well, but the franchising wasn't for us. So we're plodding away. But it's a fun thing. And when I hit the franchise industry several years ago, it really warmed my heart because I can identify a little bit on both sides. But I come in as a customer. I never come in as understanding your business, or that's not what I do. You got to understand your business. If I go into a car dealer, if I go into Unigold Travel or Housemasters or Goodyear or wherever, Subway or Grease Monkey, I mean, the list goes on. I don't come in as an expert on their business. That's what they do. I come in as an expert on people, and we have been able to help the franchise industry a lot. Our client list is large and loyal, and I'm very, very proud. Your turn.
Well, yeah, my turn. Yeah, wow, that was a big volley back. Yeah, I mean, that's really an interesting story getting started, and also interesting that you entered the franchise space and decided it wasn't for you, because there are so many that do enter the franchise space. And it is a different business, and people have to realize when they get involved in franchising from a franchisor's perspective that they're now in the franchising business, not really the core business that they were in before.
Exactly. And what I don't know if this has happened to anybody else. I really haven't shared this story, so I'd like to hear if somebody's listening. The people will remain nameless. The two gentlemen from the franchise world came in, and they did a spreadsheet for us that just lit up our eyes. We couldn't believe how to replicate and how easy this was going to be, and yada, 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 yada. I can't swear on the radio, I know that, or podcast, but BS. BS, that spreadsheet, you know, it could have been used as a birdcage flooring. That was, and we fell for it. That was what's so sad. We're smart people, but maybe the greed at the moment, we fell for it. So as a franchisor, we thought, oh, well, this is going to be easy. And it wasn't easy. And it's not that we don't want to work hard. We've been working hard, you know what, to the wall for many years. But the bottom line is, it wasn't for us, and I'm love working with the franchisees and ours the way I do now versus being one.
Now, as you did last February at the IFA convention in New Orleans, am I correct in saying you're also going to be presenting at the IFA convention coming up in Las Vegas?
Thank you for mentioning it. Yes, we're speaking Monday the 16th. I don't have the time in front of me. Monday, February 16th in Vegas, and it's one of the many super sessions, I think, in the morning. And I know from last year there are 9,000 programs there. And the decision as to which to choose is very difficult. Last year we had a packed room. We had probably about 150, nearly 200 people. I was thrilled because I was a non-entity. I was a not-known entity. People to capture the title of the program or the topic was a big thrill. And this year we've got even a bigger, better program for them. But again, I'm still not well-known in the franchise industry, so I'm hoping that the title, Sex, Booze, and Drugs, will fill them in. They wouldn't let me use that. Anyway, bottom line, I will be there in Vegas. I work with franchisees. We work with corporations too, but the franchise industry has embraced us, and it's just fun to work with them. As I say, Vegas is one. I know that there are programs all through the year, and I haven't even embraced, I haven't even attempted to try and speak at those, but those are also good places. Most of my speaking goes right into the annual franchise meetings, where somebody will hear me speak somewhere or heard from another person or referred, the old referral game, and that's where most of my business comes from in the speaking world.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a company here, you know, I'm in a I'm not speaking from my bedroom, which is, there's nothing wrong with that, but I have a 10,000 square foot building with 28 employees for the last, you know, 30 years, and we're running a business here. We have online training, we have DVD training, we have small group training, we have Nancy training, you know, speaking at conferences. So we've got a multi-unit business of our own without being a franchise, if you will.
Sure, sure. And for a lot of the emerging brands that are listening to our show and have become very loyal listeners, if you're not planning on attending the IFA convention, I strongly suggest you reconsider as a factor. And you're not yet an IFA member, please reach out to me or to Paul Rocchio at the IFA and ask about the new franchisor membership program incentives, which really will get you into the next 2 years convention almost at no cost. So something to consider, and definitely consider heading over to Nancy's presentation, as was last year's. I'm sure this year's is going to be phenomenal. You know, Nancy, we hear a lot of people in the world today, business people, that talk about, you know, being in an interruptive society, especially with social media, and a lot of CEOs just haven't, and others have not grasped onto that powerful communications tool. But, you know, I often go back and say, well, think about the first businessman, the mom and pop business that was standing in their store, their general store, Main Street, USA, and decided to put a phone on the wall behind the counter. And the first time they were dealing with Mrs. Johnson, the phone rang, and they said, "Damn, Narbit, you know, that damn phone, you know, see, it's an interruption, it's interfering with my business." And yet, you know, obviously couldn't even imagine running a business today without a phone. So going back to that fundamental, you know, aspect of business, the phone, how important is it in your mind, and maybe we don't have enough time for you to answer that, how important in your mind is the phone in business today, even with or despite the fact that we are quickly becoming a very digital society?
Well, that is a great question. And while we are experts on the phone, inbound and outbound, we also do face-to-face training. And I don't want people to say, well, that's great, but we get a lot of walk-in. I mean, just take my Subway clients. I mean, they do get a lot of phone calls on the catering side, but their mission was to help the people that walk in and stand in line. So we do all six touch points of communication, and we can talk about that later. But how important is a phone? You know, it's funny when somebody says, oh, damn, I hate that phone. And I said, you better get down on your knees that it's ringing. And thank God that phone is ringing, because when that phone stopped ringing, you know, we lose some business. Now, the social media is so new, even though it's been here, 4, 5, 6, maybe 10 years, it's still so new to these to industry, rather, let alone the franchisee. On the 1 to 10 scale, I mean, I talked to Deb yesterday, Deb Evans. I mean, she's a 10-plus on social media. I'm a 5, 5.5, 6. You know, I'm nowhere near where she is. So it's a huge learning curve. But the bottom line is you got to get on the learning curve. I had a friend I was having lunch with a while back, and she, not that long ago, a few months ago, and she opens up a flip phone. I said, Marilyn, what is that? She said, that's my phone. I said, you got to be kidding me. You don't have an iPhone? She said, no, I got a flip phone. I don't need it. I said, well, do you text your kids? She said, no, I make them call me. I said, how often do they call you? She said, so maybe once a month. I said, Marilyn, would you like to talk to them once a day? She said, well, I'd love to, but they won't call me. I said, no, get an iPhone and text them. That's the only way you – I mean, this is just a personal level, not even a – and I'm not saying texting is good in business. I'm not saying that at all. But – she didn't want to move. She didn't want to learn the curve. She didn't want to get on the bandwagon. She didn't want, and she'll stay behind. So she's, you know, complaining. Her kids never call her. You got to reach out to them. It just is a different world. And even the online, and we talk about this in my program, how to combat the online when people call up and say, well, I can get it cheaper online. Yes, you can, Mr. Jones, but you don't get me. And that's the most important part of it. So there's a lot of information we can share with the franchisees on how to combat some of the stuff that's going on. Online, the social media is part of it. I haven't learned how to market it. I'm on LinkedIn, by the way, if anybody's listening, love to LinkedIn. I do blogging every week. Some of the blogs are better than others. I just had one called 7 Yucky Email Phrases, and that got over 1,000 views. So that was pretty good for me. LinkedIn, Nancy Friedman Speaker, we're Telephone Doctor Facebook, I'm on Twitter. So they get a customer service tip of the day every day on either LinkedIn, Facebook, or Twitter from us. So we're moving in the right direction. I haven't learned to market it as well on social media, but for the franchisees who are, you know, I don't have any coupons. I don't have any of these that there's a whole world out there, and there are better people than me to talk about social media. But if you're going to have a phone, you need social media.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you know, it really comes down to, as you said, you work with businesses on the six different touch points. It really comes down to communications. And whether it be phone, whether it be by social media, whether you're using an iPhone, a Photon, or whatever the case might be, it is all about communications. And in today's day and age, probably more important than ever before, when people are so connected, you know, real-time communications is absolutely key. Give us some insights on, you know, how communications or how you work with different brands to improve communications and, of course, ultimately customer service.
Well, and it's interesting. I have two questions when I'm in front of a group. And the first one is, how many sitting here in this audience right now have some sort of new employee orientation program on customer service or sales as I speak right now? And, Paul, it is appalling the lack of hands that go up, the lack of training that is done in the industry. Oh, it's blah, 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 blah on the top end. But when the rubber hits the street or whatever, the tire hits the rubber, whatever that phrase is, you know, do they really do training? So the best part is when they leave a Nancy program, when they leave a telephone doctor program, they walk out with a program. And it they can never say, I don't have a program again. And I will show them how to have a program. I'll show them how 5, 10, 15 minutes a week can improve their customer service. Then my second question, and I will say it to your audience too, how many of us right now listening to this program have ever stopped to call into your own franchise and ask for yourself a service or a product? How many of you have done it? Again, if I got 300 people in a room, 7 raise their hands. Well, the 7 know where I'm going with this, but the other 230, whatever it is, why should I call and ask for myself? We cannot fix what we do not know. You must call up your own franchise and find out how your customers are handled. One woman came running up to me. She said, well, they'll recognize my voice. Yeah, they will. They will if you call up and ask for somebody else. But if you call up and ask for yourself, I do it all the time. I call my office here at Telephone Doctor in St. Louis. I'll call up from out of town and say, is Nancy there? And trust me, nobody's ever said to me, that you screwing around, Nancy? They may think it, they may know it, but they'll never test the water. So I plead with you, you know, if you do recognize, if you have a recognizable voice, some people have accents or tones or, you know, a beat that they'll recognize, just be in on the extension or listen in or record it or something so you can hear. I'm telling you, I do a lot of mystery calling before I go to a conference. And I don't pick anybody out and say, oh, my gosh, you know, Des Moines was terrible, or, you know, I don't do that. But I am appalled at the hard work I've got ahead of me. You can ask a simple question. Where are you guys located? Some of the people that answer the phone don't even know that.
Oh,
they don't,
yeah.
You know, let alone, you know, how much is a widget. So I am so, you know, we're very, very deep in content. I will never run out of content. We are very deep in content. I've been back to the SEMA show. I don't know if you're familiar with SEMA, the
mm-hmm.
Andrew Mark. Yeah, I've been back there 6 times with a different program each time. So content is not an issue at Telephone Doctor. We have a lot of it. We're probably one of the largest content providers around. We have online, as I say. We have DVDs, but each one has, you know, dozens and dozens of pieces of material. So in answer to your question, I do want to hit on one thing. You were talking about communications. We have what we call 6 touch points of communication. And if you want to take a pencil, you can write them down. Email, voicemail, snail mail. I made it rhyme for you, Paul, so it's easy. Email, voicemail, snail mail, phone, fax, and face-to-face. Email, snail mail, voicemail, phone, fax, and face-to-face. So we got 6 ways to communicate. What did I leave out? Right. I left out texting because texting is not in the mainstream yet. You don't send a proposal by text unless the customer demands it. You're not going to, you know, put any personal stuff on texting unless the customer demands it, which they're not. I'm not. I would hear it second. I wouldn't hear it first, maybe. But that's my business. I'm in tune with that. So texting is for, hey, Paul, you want to go to lunch? Yeah, where? Fridays. Okay, good. See ya. That's what texting's for. Call me back. I'm on busy. It, you know, with all the abbreviations, which is a whole nother interview that the, they're
Absolutely.
Using. And I, the texting is coming along. It's coming along, but it's not the mainstream of how you communicate with a customer unless the customer demands it. So you have you have six touch points of communication. And the best part about Telephone Doctor, every single technique, idea, skill, tip that I share goes into all six touch points, and it can be used in email, voicemail, snail mail, phone, fax, face-to-face, and here's the bonus, Paul. It's usable in your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
So they get a double whammy, a double bonus. Not a technique I share that couldn't be used with your mother, your father, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your kids, your uncle, et cetera. So, yeah, it's just a communication world, and sometimes we have to put that in our title program so that people say, oh, it's communications. I don't want phone skills. I want communications. They don't know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to get better.
They absolutely
they want to get better.
Don't. Well, we are live today on Franchise Today, and it seems now Franchise Today has something in common with Oprah, the Today Show, CBS This Morning, Good Morning America, Good Morning Canada, Great Britain, CNN, Fox News, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, because we have as our guest today Nancy Friedman, the Telephone Doctor. So, Nancy, as we talk about, you know, communication, we talk about the various touch points, you know, and we hear often that the most important thing is listening. And, of course, you know, listening can be looked at in a lot of different ways. As you say, you know, one of the touch points is face-to-face, and really listening is also, you know, looking at a person's body language, reading between the lines, et cetera. And yet, so many people want to, quote-unquote, talk more than they listen. So give us a little bit of the Telephone Doctor's insight on listening.
Well, one of them, I'm doing the webinar with Deb Evans on the 2nd of December, as you know, and we picked out some golden nuggets of information. And these are just pieces of information that last maybe 2 to 3 minutes. And one of the nuggets is, what is the number one skill trait that your customers are looking for? What is the number one? And, of course, we get friendliness, honesty, you know, attitude. When I walk through the audience, we get all those listed. And very few times does the number one skill come up, and that is listening. Listening, listening, listening. And that's what do they say? That's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. We're supposed to listen more than we talk. So, yeah, listening is a critical. We have a wonderful video program on listening skills. How to listen, the six ways, you know, echo questions, et cetera. But people, especially salespeople, they love talk.
Oh, yeah.
They're always listening, when can I talk next? That's how a salesperson listens. They're talking now, but when is it going to be my turn? When, in fact, what they should be doing is, what question can I ask Paul next? What's my next question? Many years ago, which is how I met Todd, who I now consider a good friend, Todd Lesner.
All right.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Todd, by the way.
Today is birthday?
I believe it's today or tomorrow.
Oh, goody. Good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Kill me if I didn't. Anyway, well, he didn't send me anything on my birthday, so okay. I met him on Fran Social because he asked a question. Did I handle this the wrong way? The whole call went south. And I sent him my questioning article. And I said, this is something that, you know, I wrote a long time ago. And anyway, that article got published in Franchise, what's the newspaper? What's the
Franchising
Franchise
World.
World. No, Franchising World.
Franchising
World,
yeah. World. Right.
Put that into the Franchising World. So
Fenwick.
I got a little play, and I really should bring it out when I speak in February again. Listening skills is critical. When a franchisor gets a franchisee on the phone, a potential franchisee on the phone, they want to talk about how wonderful and good and et cetera we are and blah, blah, blah. When they should have eight great questions, they should have eight questions prepared in advance that will give them information about who's on the other line. And how do you know who's on the other line? I had a salesperson come to me a while back. She says, I'm going to send this person something that she wasn't supposed to. And I said, why would you do that? She says, well, as a nun. I said, how do you know it's a nun? Well, her name was Sister Mary Wither. I said, well, I'm the Pope. What does that mean? What is it? Somebody tells you there's something. How do you know? And on the phone, there's no proof. There's no proof that she was a nun. Do not send that information to her until I can call whatever Parrish or whatever she was with, and find out if that was not a, it could be a competitor calling you. It could be anybody. So we have what we call 8 great questions at Telephone Doctor, and those do all salespeople ask all 8 questions? I wish they did. They don't. But they'll get through some of them at some part of the conversation where it allows the potential client to talk, and that's what the franchisor should have. They should have a list. They should get together at a board meeting and say, these are the 8 questions we want answered when we talk to a potential franchisee, and you would get so much more information.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, you were talking about, you know, salespeople, how they like to speak more about themselves and about what they're promoting. A good friend of the show, Stan Friedman, who will be my co-host in January, has a great saying about people that talk too much, and they say, hey, look, I've been talking about me for the last half hour. Now it's time for you to talk about me. So a little tongue-in-cheek there. Franchise Update Group at their annual Leadership and Development Conference, which was in Buckhead, Georgia, a couple of months ago. They have a big mystery shopping survey that goes on about franchise organizations and how they answer the phone and how they respond, so to speak, also whether it be email or whatever the point of contact is, you know, from franchise candidates. And it just blows me away. Every year I sit there and I listen to, you know, the survey results of how many brands don't return the response, their response within an hour, within 24 hours, within 7 days, not at all. And the list goes on, and yet these are the same brands that are sitting there saying, God, you know, my franchise development efforts are just in the toilet. I don't understand why. And it's really something very simple. I mean, it's so simple, though, that it is easy to ignore, but yet getting back to those basics are so absolutely important. And I agree with you with respect to, you know, if you have set questions in advance, you know, certainly you're going to get the information that's needed, and in order to take it to the next step. You know, one of the processes that we use at Franchise Foundry, and kind of promoted this, you know, several years back in social media, because it works in any type of communications, and it's really, you know, sharing information, interacting with the other person, developing an engaging conversation, and only then have you earned the right to a call to action. And the call to action doesn't mean closing a sale. It could be just the right to, you know, ask them for a subsequent phone call time.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, but so many people, you know, in a day and age of instant gratification and shortcuts and everything else, want to put a sign on their head and say, I sell this, buy from me. And they miss that whole interaction in between. How important is interaction, even in today's digital instant gratification society?
You know, as you were talking, I'm a good listener because I write as I talk, and people think I'm a good listener, and I am, but I also make notes as people talk, which I can refer back, and that's something that I think every franchisor should do when a franchisee comes in, because you can refer back to something without saying, wait a minute, you asked about, what did you ask about? So it is good, but I worry about, you're talking about a topic that's near and dear to my heart, and I'm sure if anybody listening has a teenager in high school or college, we're worried about these kids coming up who are living in this millennial world, this digital world. They don't know what a phone wire is, okay? They don't know what a dial phone is. It is a frightening part of what's going to happen here. You said something, back to basics, and every January I write my blog on back to basics, and somebody said, why don't you run it once a month? Because it is just common sense. You know, I'm not trying to cure cancer. This is not rocket science. This is plain old common sense. But you and I know as well as anybody listening, Paul, common sense is not so common. I mean, if it were, everybody would. I wouldn't be in business. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if everybody was doing what I say. Why don't you try this? Or here's how I would do. Not that everybody should take my advice, but it is fun. So, yeah, communications in today's world is a different level. You got to get on the bandwagon. They're hiring these young kids. I'm not an expert on millennials. I don't plan to be. I don't want to be. But I know there's a problem out there. Now, the fun part is when I do a program, and this is so interesting. When I do a program, and there are the young kids from in the let's go 19 to 32 to call them, not millennials. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Okay, so maybe 16 to 32. I will tell you that more than half of them come up to me afterwards and say, you know, thank you. I've never heard of half this stuff. I didn't get, oh, my gosh, thank you. You're so good. And I'm looking at them and thinking, why did your mother tell you this? You know, there's not a mother out there that doesn't say what I say. But these kids weren't brought up with that in their world today. So it is a hard time to bring kids up nowadays. It's a hard time to interact with them. But it can be done. You just need to... You need to learn their language. Learn their language. What did I say? I forget. I'll bring it up. I can't remember. I said something to a 20 or 25-year-old, and he said, man, you're cool. Well, he just used a word that he liked. You know what I'm saying? I am cool, but just do a little bit of digging and learning and reading. Oh, my gosh. Read.
Yeah, and it's amazing you're bringing it up, you know, about, you know, parents, moms, and their kids in the same language. But it tells me, I laugh all the time when I see a brand whose target audience are 16 to 21-year-olds, and they're not using their language.
That blows my mind.
Give me
an example of a brand, because I just can't think right now of all the brands that are targeting the millennials.
Well, I know one that we're going to be. We're ready to launch Max Out Strength Studios, which is basically building mind, body, and soul for teens and young adults. We've been transforming it over the last year, and our focus, of course, is on teens and young adults and talking their language. And it was interesting because 2 weeks ago I was in Philadelphia at their corporate location in a suburb of Philadelphia. And listening just to the music, you know, it wasn't music that I would listen to, and certainly probably not the music that even the founders of the brand that are in the premises all the day would listen to. But guess what? It's definitely in tune with the younger generation would listen to. And when they're in there and they're participating, you know, their feet are tapping and their shoulders are moving and their head's bobbing and everything else. And you know what? They're listening.
Absolutely.
And they're not only listening to the music, but they're also listening to the messages that are coming out of the different, you know, trainers and stuff that they're working with. But it's because they feel comfortable. And if you have that messaging, you immediately get your audience into a comfortable position.
And it's a trusting position.
Absolutely.
Position. My husband owned two radio stations, and we played, he used to call it music for the forgotten generation, the adults. And it was all Frank Sinatra, and, you know, it was just good, solid music that you like. And he says to this day, and when we sold it at a good time, but he would never own a radio station today because you can't find that. Thank God for Sirius, you know, XM that has a Frank Sinatra station. You can't find a music station for the forgotten generation at all. But nevertheless, you got to speak the language. You're right. I didn't hear the name of your emerging brand, but that sounds great.
Max Out Strength Studios.
Oh, Max.
M-A-X Out Strength Studios.
Terrific.
Building mind, body, and soul for teens and young adults. And they have a leadership and mentorship program that works hand in hand with their strength program. It's really a great
idea. Great idea to attack those, because those kids have money, or the parents have money. The parents have money. But if the kids want to do something good like that, the parents don't mind spending it. Kids don't have any money because they don't want to work. God forbid they should go, you know. I asked one of my grandsons the other day, you want to come work Saturday? He says, what's the job? I got to now have a spreadsheet for the jobs so that he can pick and choose. I pay better than he could get anywhere else. But what's the job? They're very particular. You got to be very careful, very, very careful.
Yeah.
I do have. I love to give prizes and I love to give things away. I have a paragraph here from an email that I received, and I blogged on it one time. No fair cheating, guys. But I offered a free book to anybody can tell me what was the biggest faux pas in this paragraph. Do you want to do that now, or you want to hold
off?
Sure,
go for it.
Well, it was an email. A gentleman wrote me. I'm an attorney. No, I received an email from this attorney, and it says, the recent email I received gave me some good ammunition for an article. While the industry is legal profession, believe me, it can happen in every industry. This is from an attorney, okay, starting now. About 1 o'clock today, I returned opposing counsel's telephone call from this morning. The first person that answered the phone took my name and asked me to hold while he checked to see if she was back from lunch. After a short time, he came back on the line and transferred my call. At that time, opposing counsel's assistant answered the phone. She took my name for the second time and put me back on hold. After holding a few minutes, opposing counsel's assistant came on the line again and asked if I could call back in 20 minutes. I'm sure that her assistant is telling opposing counsel that I'm a jerk because I answered, "No, I'm calling her now." End. So there's a huge faux pas there. And I am offering a free book, complimentary book prize to anybody who calls up 314-291-1012. That's St. Louis Central Time, 314-291-1012. Anytime you hear this, if you can get the biggest faux pas, and I'm not going to tell it now, obviously, you can tell me off the air, Paul, but there was a huge, huge faux pas in that. So.
Well, that's great. And as we get a lot of our listeners accessing our shows on demand, you might get calls on this for up to a year in advance because it's amazing how many people listen. So so far,
I got a lot of books, so it's all right.
Okay, well, that's good.
It would be my pleasure because it's funny how people, you talk about listening skills. You know, what are they listening for?
Mm-hmm.
Did they
that's
really
right.
listen to that? I could read it again. I won't take the time, but they can always, I guess, play it back. I don't know. How does this work?
Well,
thank God. You know, I was going to go to the hairdresser and get my nails done and pedicure and everything for you today. I didn't have to. This is great.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we can't see you right now.
That's good. No, you don't want to do that. It's all right. Okay.
I don't know. You know, when I met you finally face-to-face, as I was walking into the exhibit hall last year in New Orleans, I mean, it was great to see you, and certainly you make a good appearance, and I imagine that's not staged. I imagine it's most of the time, you know, it really is, you know, when we talk about communication, and we talk about business, and we talk about relationships, it really is about truth, trust, and transparency.
It is trust, and talking and finally meeting you, you need to know you were the Howard Hughes of the franchise industry. I mean, getting a hold of Paul was a major feat, and I did it because I was committed to do it, but it always has been fun. So what else do you want to talk about? We've got so much we can talk about, and it just...
Oh, God, you and I could probably talk for hours, and if we
right,
were sitting
but see,
in front
that's,
of a fireplace...
I love, yeah,
if we were sitting in a fireplace with Merlot, I think we would be kind of tanked by the time we finished speaking.
I would love, and I know if anybody wants to email a question or something, as sometimes we play, I know you're not able to do a interaction on a podcast, but, you know, Stump the Telephone Doctor. I always want to put something on Fran Social, but I don't want to promote. So I love to hear from the franchisors or franchisees. Again, I stress the LinkedIn because I'm very active on LinkedIn. I love to do the blogging. You do a good job. You know what I'll do? I'll post our picture again.
There you go.
I will post
there
our
you
picture
go.
Again.
So, you know, we have an upcoming webinar that you'll be presenting through Franchise Foundry's Franchisee Support Series. And I know you're going to be talking about nuggets. Give us some insight into, you know, what franchisees and franchisors can learn from your session.
Well, it goes back to the KISS method, keep it simple, stupid, and it's, you know, this isn't rocket science, I say it all the time. There are things that people who come up to me who are older than I am, as well as the millennials, older than I am, have been working longer than I have, and say, you know, I forgot about that. And that's what it is. We've got so much in our computer brain. There's so much there. How are you going to remember everything? And so my job is just to go back to the basic stuff your mom taught you, your dad taught you. You know, yes, I've got specific instances, but example, and I don't know if all franchise do this, but if you're mailing something out, you're sending a franchisee, add a note to it. Even a yellow post-it note with thank you, appreciate your business. You know, the most I get from companies is inspected by 4201. Well, that's not a note, okay? I don't need that. I would love to have, you know, there's not a note. The golden rule here at Telephone Doctor, whatever we send out, whether it's a book or a DVD or whatever it is, gets a personal handwritten note. Even can just say, have a nice day, Bob. That's it. You don't doesn't need to be a thesis to Gone with the Wind. It just needs to be a simple note. So if you're shipping something to a client or mailing something to a client, add a note. You talked about the painting place. What is it?
Pino's Palette.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
That
yep.
is fun. And you know what I did? Next to Pino's Palette was a Jet's Pizza. And I spoke at Jet's Pizza. I haven't spoken at Pino's Palette yet. I went into the Jet's Pizza guy. I said, why don't you two get together? You should have coupons for each other. Because the Pino's Palette,
oh, yeah.
I mean, they bring pizza. I mean, they're allowed to bring food in. They hadn't thought of it.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Something
next door
as,
to
as
each
you
other.
Said,
they had...
Something so simple.
That's
you know,
what I'm talking
people
about.
Miss out on. It really is amazing.
Well, it
so,
also is, don't you think, and it, sometimes you're too close to the forest to see the trees. You know,
absolutely.
Sometimes
absolutely.
We just, I mean, somebody will give me a tip sometime, and I thought, oh, my God, why didn't I think of that? So one of my salespeople who's been with me 20 years, and I gave her a tip, and I said, I shouldn't be giving you a tip. You're so good. And she said to me, Nancy, we never arrive. And that just stuck with me. We're never a solid piece yet.
Well,
we're never finished.
Here's the way I look at it, and I'll tell you in just a second as I let everybody know we're on live on Franchise Today, and my guest is the telephone doctor, Nancy Friedman, and we're talking about basically everything communication. So, Nancy, to your point, we never arrive, or your associate's point, we never arrive. I agree, because I often talk about communications as the old way and the new way. The old way basically was like a tic-tac-toe board, like a tic-tac-toe game, where we basically had four lines, nine spaces. We played win, lose, or draw, and we start over. And obviously then you do arrive and you keep arriving. But today's day and age, especially with the expansion of communication in so many different ways, it's kind of like a Rubik's Cube. It's like a tic-tac-toe board blown up on steroids, the turbo model that you can move around and look at from different angles. And if you don't like the way something looks, you keep moving the other way. And you know what? You can't lose at Rubik's Cube. You never arrive, because either you continue to play and never quit, or you win, one of the two. And
absolutely.
It's not a matter of losing. You know, as we get towards the wrap-up, I have to recall, you know, some of my early training in franchising that related to the phone and customer service, and that was my early days with AAMCO as a manager out in the field. And AAMCO, of course, at the time, automotive repair, was very, very driven by the telephone. And 80% of our business started on the telephone as opposed to a walk-in, because, you know, people were calling up for information. There was a lot of uncertainty. They were shopping around, and the list goes on and on. And I remember early on, you know, being told, and we did a lot of script sales. So we had to be on track, and there was telephone shopping contest, and it was proven that if you stayed on track, you know, sales went up and la-di-da-di-da. But the thing I remember even to this day, and I kind of read through this even in social media because I don't see it, which, of course, is the smile. And I remember being so busy, and a lot of the good managers actually had a mirror by their phone, that when the phone rang, they took a second, looked in the mirror, you know, forced a smile if they had to, but they nevertheless, they smiled, and they said, you know, thank you for calling AAMCO. Paul speaking. How may I help you? And yet we see so much we don't see a lot of that today, even on the phone. It's always, you know, Paul here, whatever. But even in the written word, you know, we see people with caps. We see, you know, incorrect spelling, no attention to detail. And to me, that blends along with the smile. It blends along with, hey, I want to be inviting. So how important is a smile in today's communications?
Well, there is not a program that I've done, and there's been, I don't want to say how many, but probably 700-800 programs throughout the year, maybe. Not the year, lifetime, over 1,000, that I'd be very exhausted, that the smile doesn't come in it. And we have a wonderful saying on our mouse pad, and I'll send you the mouse pad. It says, a phony smile is better than a real frown. A phony smile is better than a real frown. We've even got little smile labels. So
I
the smile is important. What we've come, when I have a little smile game I play with the audience, it's a lot of fun. But what I found with my audience is women are taught at, we're taught at age two, you know, that a smile will get us anything we want. It's easy for a woman to smile. We, hi, Daddy, give me a dollar. I love you. We smile. They smile. We know how to do it. We're taught at a very young age. It is, it's just a way of life for us. Men grin. They don't smile. I'm not trying to be sexist here, but when I ask the men to smile, 80% of them are just grinning. They, you can't see your teeth. So in order to, smile, be heard, in order to smile to be heard, we need to see your teeth. And if you don't see your teeth, you're just grinning and your voice won't change. So the bottom line is, yes, a smile is critical. And the, for the people who have said to me, and they've said it to other people, no, they can't hear a smile. Well, yes, you can. Now, you can argue, argue that up and down with Bill O'Reilly if you want, but you can hear a smile. And, you know, if I turned and just repeated everything you said or just talk like this, I mean, you know, there's just a bland, it's just as I'm not smiling right now. But the minute I put a smile in my voice, you can hear it. There's, it just, you can hear it. So it is more than critical. It is more than critical. We do it in person easier than we do it on the phone. When you meet somebody at a party, the first thing you do is you smile. But on the phone, because there is, I mean, it's like radio. It's like this now. You can't see me. You don't know what I'm wearing. You don't know what I look like. Well, you do. But, you know, the people that are listening now, you and I need to impress them with our voice. That's the communication. That's the communication right now. Our voices are radio, and that's all we have to give right now. So anybody who calls me has got to say, wow, I liked her voice. You know, yeah, she had good stuff to say, too. But, you know, she really came across fun. And that's what has to happen at every franchisee. Now, we don't have enough time, you're right. But if we ever do this again, I wanna talk about what we call the dilution factor of training from the franchisor down to the franchisee.
Well, you could count on that, and we will have you back on Franchise Today. You know, it's interesting, as you said, you know, men don't smile, the majority of men don't smile, but women do. And I start thinking right away into relationships and why women are better in relationships than men are. And as you take that a step further in today's communication world of social media, why women are better in social media in general than men, because it is all about the relationship. It is all about the smile. It is all about truth, trust, and transparency. And I really want to thank you for being my guest today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. The one thing I didn't say is they can reach me at nancyfriedman.com, FRIEDMAN, nancyfriedman.com is our website. So if they are looking for anything, it's nancyfriedman.com, FRII before E except after C. You remember that one.
Absolutely. Thank
you've been a, you've been a great host. I thank you, and I applaud you for the good work that you're doing with the franchise industry, and I thank you so much for having us. And my husband always says, it's nice to be had.
There you go. Nice to be had. Nice to be heard. Thanks for your smile. I appreciate
it.
Next week on Franchise Today, we are taking the time off to celebrate Thanksgiving with our families. We hope you do the same. I am definitely a big proponent of not shopping on Thanksgiving, because it should be a day of family. And then, of course, right after Thanksgiving, we have Small Business Saturday, and this is something that's really near and dear to my heart, because I've been working feverishly with American Express over the last 3 years, trying to get to make sure that franchising is recognized, and we're making progress, although there are still limitations. But we need to make sure that American Express and others in the industry know that franchises are small business too, and many of the individuals that own franchisees are no different than mom-and-pop business owners on Main Street USA. So I would suggest on the day of Small Business Saturday, use the hashtag, you know, shop small, and let them know you're shopping in franchise locations as well. Coming up after Thanksgiving, again, Tom Epstein and Lee Play, we're going to be talking about data breaches. Very, very important for the franchise community to really latch on to this very important topic. So, wishing you a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. My name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best, in this great thing we call franchising. And Franchise Today is out